All right. Thank you, Jonathan, for leading, and Jonathan for singing, and Karen. So good morning to all of you, and to all of you who are here this morning, virtually as well as physically. I will say good morning and Mother's Day. Here at Northwest, we always honor moms on Mother's Day, but we don't always devote an entire service to it, but that's exactly what we're doing this year. My fervent hope is that this will be an encouragement to everyone, moms and non-moms alike. So I thought I'd start out this morning by giving a little bit of history about this special holiday. There are lots of celebrations of Mother's Day around the world, but it's the American incarnation of Mother's Day was dreamed up by a woman named Anna Jarvis. Miss Jarvis was childless. She never married. But she wanted to set aside a day to honor the sacrifices mothers make for their children. Just something simple, something sweet. And for years, she would travel around the country lobbying for the United States to nationalize this special day. And her persistence paid off. In 1914, President Woodrow Wilson signed a declaration establishing the second Sunday in May as Mother's Day. Once Mother's Day became a national holiday, it was not long before florists and card companies and other merchants capitalized on the day. And if it finally became so commercialized that Miss Jarvis, who thought the whole thing up, denounced the entire holiday and spent the last years of her life trying to remove Mother's Day from the calendar. Well, thankfully, we're past all that commercialization stuff today, and Mother's Day is now the pristine, pure celebration of mothering that Anna Jarvis had created it to be, thanks to Hallmark and jewelers and chocolatiers and phone companies who report the highest number of calls made on any day during the year is always Mother's Day. All that aside, today we are taking the opportunity provided by Mother's Day to celebrate the mothering role that is carried out by women who build into those coming after them, both mothers and mother figures. Mother's Day began to loom close a few weeks ago. Jeff was wondering what he was going to say. I was wondering what I was going to say. And I felt this pressure to be creative and to say something different, fresher than what I'd said in the past when I'd given a Mother's Day sermon. So I had a great idea. I decided that I would center all my remarks around bad mothers of the Bible. And I would just highlight all the mothers who failed in Scripture and then say to the moms who are here, do this, don't do that. Don't do this, don't do that. We'd look at Rebecca, Isaac's wife. Now, she was the one who schemed to get her favorite son, Jacob, blessed instead of his older brother, Esau. And she did a world of damage by her trickery, by her favoritism. And mothers could learn a lot from what not to do from Rebecca. We could look at the story of King Ahaziah, one of the worst kings in the history of Israel. The Bible says in 1 Kings 22, he did evil in the sight of the Lord. He walked in the way of his father and in the way of his mother, and in the way of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who misled Israel into sin. And I bet you've never heard that verse on Mother's Day. We would talk about Mother Jezebel, Grandmother Athaliah, the grandmother nobody wants to be. And as I was outlining this message in my head, it dawned on me, I've never heard anyone preach a sermon like this. Now, creativity is one thing, stupidity is another. And maybe there was some wisdom to not going there, so I'm going to go a more typical Mother's Day direction today with a twist or two thrown in. And we're going to break our time down today into two parts. And first, I want to look at the calling of God on kids toward their mothers. The Bible gives children of all ages one glaring command when it comes to how they should relate to their mothers. And you first find it in Exodus 20. It's the fifth of the Ten Commandments. And then it's listed in other places in the Old Testament and several places in the New. In fact, the Apostle Paul gives this command in his letter to the church at Ephesus, Ephesians chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may turn out well for you and that you may live long on the earth. As threatening as that verse sounds, it's really a promise. It's a wonderful promise. But obedience to and honoring moms and dads is a command of the first order. It was in the Old Testament. Jesus referenced it several times in the Gospels. And that's the what? Honor your mother. Obey your mother. Now, we're going to channel our inner two-year-old and ask why. Why make such a big deal? Why put such a premium on children learning to obey and honor moms and dads? I'm sure there are lots of reasons for this, but one big reason for the command is that obeying and honoring parents is great training for relating to authorities later in life where the stakes are much, much higher. And this is kind of a diversion, something Jeff prayed about. It's just something I want to mention as well. All of us who have or had moms, some of us, our mothers have passed away, but we all have something in common in those mothers. They were all flawed. Every one of them, no matter how great, no mother perfectly fulfills her calling. And then this, some people have moms or had moms who did more harm than good. And if that's you, today is a challenge. For some people, Mother's Day is a mixed bag because it's painful to think about mom. And you hear, honor your mother, and you want to obey the command, but for you, you wish it was a delight to do that. It's more like a step into radical discipleship to do that. So if that's you, I want you to know that before this morning and throughout this week, I've prayed for you. I've lifted you up to God, and I've prayed that you would find peace today as you seek to honor your mother in whatever way is appropriate. And then, as Lisa gave her wonderful testimony, that God would provide you with wonderful mother figures, life, positive moms to come alongside of you. But none of us had perfect moms. And God knew that your mother wasn't perfect when he put her in your life and gave you the command to honor and obey. I've known a lot of moms, and I know that they have almost as many faults as dads do. I worked on that, how to say that just right. But there is something about honoring and obeying your mother that will certainly bless her, and it will work for your own growth, especially if you honor and obey when you disagree with her. It'll prepare you for harder obediences later on, with bosses, with the government, and most especially with God. And let me tell you how I think that works. As you grow older, when children grow up and as adults grow older, it will at times seem that God doesn't know what he's doing in your life. You'll be tempted to question his dealings with you. You'll be tempted to wonder if he even loves you. And how in the world, given his hand in your life, is your life ever going to work out? Those who have learned to accept the discipline of a mother who makes mistakes are much better positioned. They're much better equipped to obey a loving, all-wise God whose ways are not easy to discern. So learning to obey and honor mom is great spiritual training. And that's what I would mark down as the why. That's why we do it. The what is honor, the why is spiritual training. The how breaks down into a couple of different components. Now, this may surprise you, but the first thing implied by this command to honor moms is that grown children would financially take care of their mothers in their old age. In Jesus' day, the religious leaders were encouraging the Jews of their day to give lots of money to support the temple instead of supplying the needs of their aged parents. And Jesus saw this, and you can read about this in Mark chapter 7. Jesus saw this as a direct contradiction of the fifth commandment, and he called them out for it. Don't do that. To honor, especially elderly moms, requires when they're no longer able to provide for themselves, the adult child steps in and makes sure that his mom is taken care of, especially in her golden and declining years. So many of you who are here right now listening to all of this are caring for your moms. And if you're not yet, there may well come a day when your mom will be in need. And Jesus' instruction to you is to support mothers and mothers-in-law and mother figures in their time of need. Honoring our mothers, though, has a second meaning, and that meaning is especially seen in the book of Proverbs. And actually, every reference to Scripture from here on in, this morning is going to be from Proverbs. In Proverbs 15:20, the idea is live respectfully. A wise son makes a father glad. A foolish man despises his mother. So children of mothers, and that's really a pretty big club, children of mothers and those who are being mothered by women other than their mother have a chance to honor these women by living honorably. No matter your age, if you want to honor your mother, live with integrity and courage and wisdom and love that will bless your mom. It's a great way to honor her. And if your mom raised you to love Jesus, nothing thrills her heart more than to know that you are walking with Jesus. So bring your mom into your walk with Jesus and talk about Jesus with your mom and pray for your mom, pray with your mom. Let your mom know how important Jesus is to you, because that'll bless her heart as well. So to this point, I've really been talking more to the beneficiaries of mothers than to mothers, but from this point forward, I'm going to speak more directly to the stars of the show today, to moms and to mother figures. It's very common to celebrate what I'll call the softer sides of mothering on Mother's Day and to talk about nurture and empathy and compassion and tenderness. And I thank God for that. And I've seen a lot of that in the mothers that I know who have mothered well. Think about how central those softer sides of mothering are. When the Apostle Paul, for instance, wanted to tell his friends in Thessalonica how much he cared for them, he used mothering vocabulary. In 1 Thessalonians 2, we read this, "But we prove to be gentle among you, as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children, in the same way we had a fond affection for you." So that vocabulary is just, it is very mothering, and Paul borrowed it, and so that's a huge part of what mothering is all about. But in the short time we have remaining today, we're going to focus on a couple of other facets of mothering. For the first thought, the sixth chapter of Proverbs. Chapter 6, verse 20, "My son," this is Solomon writing, "comply with the commandment of your father, do not ignore the teaching of your mother." And the idea of teaching there probably has in it the idea of, yes, verbal instruction, but also modeling and instructing by life and all the rest. There's very few ways better to exert a powerful influence on the next generation than by words that guide and by a life that speaks louder than words. And all the way through the Bible, you see that. You see mothers who have this profound impact on their kids, like Jochebed. Now, the story of Jochebed is a hard one. She was Moses' mother. And so when Moses was born, she very soon had to get rid of him because the king's command, Pharaoh's command, was to kill all the Hebrew baby boys. So you just picture Jochebed. She entrusted Moses' life to God. She put him in a little basket and then sent him, and she's watching him being carried away by the current of the Nile River. And then she sees the daughter of Pharaoh rescue Moses out of the river, and then miraculously, Jochebed was tasked with being Moses' nurse. What a wonderful twist there. And Jochebed took the opportunity of that job to tell her son all about the one true God so that when the time came, he was ready to fulfill God's promise, God's purpose for him. Or another one of my favorite stories is the story of Timothy in the New Testament. Timothy was one of Paul's closest fellow laborers in the gospel. And in 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul reminded Timothy of his spiritual heritage. He says, I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I'm sure that it's in you as well. So there's a godly grandmother and mother. They drew Timothy to faith in Christ. That shaped his character. And history is filled with the stories of men and women whose lives have been impacted by the influence of godly mothers and mother figures. And then I think of the mothers here in our church and the impact you're having on your kids. And I see how you pour yourselves into your kids and you're so invested in being a great mom to your kids and sharing your life with them. And I think of the women who mother their nieces and nephews and any other kid who comes into their sphere of influence, and those who are mothering kids in Sunday school and they see little ones run by in the hall and they do their mothering thing with them, and it's a beautiful thing to watch. And that's just following in the footsteps of Jochebed, Lois, Eunice, and all others who through time have modeled what it means to follow God. You're doing a great job for that, by that. So my sisters, I really believe that in the years to come, there will be boys and girls who grow into men and women who will be following Jesus because of the example you have given and by the teaching you have provided. God wants to use you to point them to Jesus, this up-and-coming generation. Now, one brief caveat. The outcome of the next generation doesn't rest on your shoulders. Every person has a choice to make as to who they're going to trust and how they're going to live. So I don't want any mothers here thinking that there's a guaranteed outcome if you mother well, or that you're solely responsible for the outcome, because you're not. What is true is that you have been gifted by God with life experiences and wisdom and all kinds of wonderful knowledge and strengths and talents. Use all of that to direct the child in your sphere, the child in your orbit, to Jesus. And I believe God will use those efforts, your example, your teaching, your love, to draw kids to Christ. Now, as to the rest of what I have to say this morning, if you're a mother or a mothering figure in someone's life, you might be like a certain mother that I happen to know better than any other mother here at the church. Because in years past, when we had young kids at home, this mom dreaded the thought that I might speak on Mother's Day from Proverbs 31. Now, I'm not a mother and I'm not a wife, but I've read Proverbs 31, and I can imagine that would be a daunting thing to listen to Proverbs 31. This mother I know so well had nothing to fear from Proverbs 31. And yes, I'm going to turn to Proverbs 31 now. But The verses that I'm talking about have nothing to do with wifing. They're about mothering. And I believe that every mother and mothering woman and woman who wants to mother will find these to be so encouraging. This is great stuff. We're listening to the words of a mother that are written by her son. Her son is Lemuel. He was a king, young king. And evidently, she said these things to him so many times that he was able to quote them. And they're here for us in the first part of Proverbs 31. So I'm going to read what this mother says. And as she gives this instruction, it's a crash course given for the generations of mothers who would follow her in the fine art of mothering. Verse 1. Actually, verse 2. What, my son? And what, O son of my womb? And what, son of my vows? And every mother here knows exactly what she's saying. This is a woman speaking passionately from the depths of her soul to her son. And she repeats three times, what? Because she is desperate that her son really pay attention to her. It's like she's grabbing his face and turning his face to her. Look at me. Listen to me. What I've got to say is really, really important. So what? 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 Her son's a king. This mom has watched kings come and go. And she knows the dangers into which kings can fall. So verse 3 is a warning. The first line is a for instance. Do not give your strength to women. Notice the plural. To women. Don't play the field. Be a one-woman kind of man. Be devoted to that woman in your life. And the second line of verse 3 is more general, or your ways to that which destroys kings. So the advice is that her son should learn the power of the word no. It's to learn to rein in the appetites of life. Kings are in a very enviable and a very dangerous position. They're able to have anything and everything they want. Who denies a king what he wants? Nobody. And this wise mom knows that nothing would destroy her son more quickly than for him to get everything and anything he wants whenever he wants it. So this model mother urges her son to control his urges. Moms today, instill in your sons and daughters, instill in those whom you are mothering the lesson of restraint. Teach them that unrestrained indulgence of life's appetites, food, drink, sex, sleep, whatever it might be, unrestrained indulgence of life's appetites does damage to a soul. And then teach them that their life's resources are limited. Even if you're a king, your resources in life are limited. One of the myths that the young tend to believe is that their resources are inexhaustible. And mom steps in here and she says, nope, not inexhaustible. Steward your resources wisely. Don't squander them. So, mom, you can lead the way in showing self-restraint and self-discipline for your kids' sake. And don't automatically give in to their requests for what they ask, even if you're able to. Don't just automatically say yes. Teach them the value of delayed gratification. Teach them, and this is hard, teach them to live graciously with an appetite unfulfilled, to choose a good attitude when they don't get their own way. Model that and teach that. Okay, so that's verse 3. And Lemuel's mom isn't finished. Verse 4, it is not for kings, Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine or for rulers to desire intoxicating drink. Otherwise, they'll drink and forget what's decreed and pervert the rights of all the needy. So she's challenging her son to righteous living because he's a person of influence. He's a guy with impact. Lemuel, it is not becoming someone who has been given stewardship to lead and who has a contribution to make to the world. It's not becoming to be drunk. So stay sober, stay sharp. Otherwise, you won't be able to give what God has given you to give. You won't bring that to the table to help meet people who are in need. You who are mothering today, you have the opportunity to equip those in your orbit with the confidence that they have something to contribute to their world. No question about it. And your child may not be royalty, but he or she can make a difference in their world. So be a student of your child and watch them. Watch how he or she interacts with friends. Note how well they listen. Affirm that. Affirm how well they listen, and maybe that sparks a vision for your child, the one you're mothering, to be a help to others through wise counsel. Listen as your child describes how angry they get when somebody gets bullied, or at how angry they get and how offended they are by injustice when they see it. Affirm that. Affirm that's a good thing. Help them channel that heart for biblical justice and God-honoring ways. Know your kids' giftedness. Help them to appreciate that giftedness as being from God, and encourage them to use that giftedness to help, as Solomon, as Lemuel says, to help the needy. And that's really where Lemuel's mother ends. In the last couple of verses, we're going to see this mother's son is a king. He's going to be up to his eyeballs in matters of state. He's going to be having power lunches with the elite in society. He's going to know the inner workings of government. He's going to have money to burn, so he's way up there. Listen to how personal these last words are. Verse 6. Give intoxicating drink to one who is perishing, and wine to one whose life is bitter. Sounds like what we do with medications for those who are dying or those who are depressed. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his trouble no more. That's her words to Lemuel about how he's to deal with one person. Open your mouth for the people who cannot speak, for the rights of all the unfortunate. Open your mouth, judge righteously, defend the rights of the poor and needy. In other words, don't get so caught up in your own grand story that you forget the painful stories of those around you. If you don't speak up for them, who will? Put yourself in their shoes, help when you can. You've been gifted, but that's not just for your own enrichment. You've been blessed to be a blessing. So moms, by all means, do what you can to equip your kids and those you are mothering to make their way in the world and to be a success. But raise the bar beyond that. Cast a compelling vision for more than just making a good living. That's not enough. Cast a vision for living well and generously and compassionately. And that, I believe, is God's calling on your life. It's a wonderful calling, and I see so many of you are fulfilling that calling right now. God bless you. We honor mothers who are fulfilling their roles and those who are mother figures in the lives of others today. You're giving guidance to the up-and-coming generation. You're pointing them to Jesus. And today we honor you. Thank God for you. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for your amazing love for us, the love you poured out on us in Jesus. We thank you for the amazing good news. We've talked a lot about what moms and mother figures should do. Coming to you and becoming your son or your daughter has nothing to do with what we do. It's what Jesus has done. So we thank you for the finished work of Christ on the cross, and that you give eternal life to everyone who believes in Jesus. So we start from that standpoint. We start from that point. It's all about grace. And we just ask that today, Father, you would lavish grace on those who are mothering. Let them sense your well done as they give themselves to nurture the next generation. We pray for them. Pray that this would be a day of great joy. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Yeah, those who are living with a mother or a mother figure, make sure that this is a day they remember with joy. We're dismissed.